two additional handouts, or three things, as we're getting ready to go into the Word. So if you would turn to Luke chapter 5 while Brother Steve's passing out. If you weren't here last week, please get a handout on the teaching of transformation on Wednesday night. And then we also have some additional postcards and invite cards, TWCC invite cards. Each we want everyone to get at least one of each, so you can have it to invite somebody or bring somebody to church. Praise the Lord. Is that good? All right. And of course, we have some leftover 10 I am. So as we, if you were here when we opened up the service, we're starting with I am, because it's important that we communicate our faith effectively by acknowledging every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. You know, faith gives a forecast, not what you are, but who you are in Christ. Amen. In Christ, you are really something. Amen. And so you want to be able to say that with boldness and with great conviction. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 36 through 39. We're going to lead off with that scripture tonight, under the direction, I believe, from the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 5, verse 36 through 39. Everybody there? If you're there, say, I'm there. All right. So we're going to begin reading Luke chapter 5, verse 36. Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece of new garment on an old one. Well, at least you shouldn't, right? Otherwise, the new makes a tear. And also a piece that was taken out of the old one does not match the old. Does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, and be spilled, and the wineskins be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Now think about the analogy Jesus is using here. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. Now, we're talking about transformation, and we're talking about our mandate in penetrating and influencing our culture. Now, I'm going to read some things out of the book here just a second before we get this. But this is so important that we embrace the new things and the new work that God wants to do in you, to change you first, to transform you first. Now, what is Christ teaching about here? Well, back in the day, people stored wine in wineskins. They were basically goat skins sewn into a watertight bag. That's how they were sewn. Well, new wine had to be put into new wineskins so that they could expand. Okay, as the wine fermented and expanded. So a used wineskin would break if it held new wine. Now think about the analogy. Old thinking, old traditions, old way of being a believer in Christ and a follower of Christ, old wineskin. God wants to do new things in our lives to change us and transform us, but we got to change the wineskin. We've got to expand our thinking and our believing systems to embrace the new things God wants to use you in these last days. In other words, you have to be changed. You have to be transformed. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Pharisees, which is analogous of religious tradition, legalism, stuck in the old ways, don't want to change, okay? Take that as an analogy, as I suggest to you. They were like the old wineskins. They could not expand their traditions. They couldn't change their rules, and they couldn't understand according to accommodate Jesus, new wine or new ideas, concepts, and programs. So Jesus came along and brings a new way of life. Amen? Now, let me give you some of the sound bites and points that we made previously. God has not called us and created this church, TWCC, to raise an audience. We're to raise an army. Now, what do you think about when you think of army? Audience is means I'm saved and I sit. Now, it's not just mean you don't get involved in volunteering at church, but you sit at home. Amen? Because your whole deal and paradigm of thinking, like the Pharisees, was, I'm religious. I go to church. That's right. I check the block. Instead of with the new skin needs to be, I am the church. I don't just go to church. I am the church.
That's right.
And as the church, I'm in the army of the Lord. I am a soldier in the army of the Lord. That means I'm under orders and I'm under command. And Christ has given us a great commandment. That means it's non-negotiable to us as Christian believers and followers of Christ. And then we have to understand that I have a mission, which is his great commission. So a lot of times you're almost pharmaceutical in your thinking when you don't act like who you are. We're not in a civilian organization.
That's right.
We're soldiers in the army of the Lord. That means I'm under orders. I'm not under orders just an hour and a half or 2 hours or 3 hours when I'm at church.
That's right.
I'm under orders 24/7, 365. Why? Because Jesus is my Lord.
Yeah.
He's my Lord of all. That means he's my owner. He's my boss. And my owner, my master, my ruler, the one who tells me what to do. Until you get that, you still got old wineskin. Because you figure, well, the pastor's not looking, the people at the church are not looking. I do what I want to. I call my own shots. I do my own thing. Well, what happens is when your body part dysfunctioning, as we read Sunday from the book, which I'll get to in just a second, when you're a dysfunctional body part, you cause the other parts harm and hindrance to their growth. So you create schism in the body. 1 Corinthians 12 says it very clearly. You got to stay in your, you got to take your place. You got to operate in his grace, and you've got to run your race. When you don't, it hurts everybody else. Is that clear enough? Amen. So you don't get to choose whether or not I'm going to do this. You get a choice to obey or not. Amen. Old wineskin says, I do what I want. I stick to the old traditions. When I'm out of church, nobody even knows I'm a believer. I'm an undercover Christian because I watch the same movies. I talk the same language. I watch the same music videos. I run to the same places. I follow after the same fads. I even wear the same fashions. And I even have the same focus. Work to pay my bills, entertain, go out, wash, rinse, and repeat. Hallelujah. Everybody good?
Yes, amen.
So everybody say, Jesus came, to bring a new way of life. Based on his work and faith in his name. So to follow Jesus requires a radical break from the old way of life. Any attempt trying to mix the old with the new is bound to fail. Hence why we were talking about transformation. We got to change the way we think about evangelism, discipleship, which will come up in end of April. So we have to have a shift in our thinking about both those things that comprise of the Great Commission. Because we feel like my life is my own. I don't need to disciple anybody. I don't need to develop anybody. I don't need to witness or share it to anybody. Who says you didn't? I don't need to pray for anybody. Who says you don't? That's old wineskin. Amen. So any attempt to mix the old with the new is bound to fail, bringing worse situation than previously existed. Things break up. You don't break through, you break down as a believer. And many of us can probably give testimony to of people they knew who started the race and they quit. They're no longer in church. They're no longer really actively serving God in any way. And they think that living room worship and my fire insurance ticket to heaven is all I need. We got to raise our thinking level about that. Are you listening to me? Now listen, if you have this book with you, you can follow along with me. Listen to what he said. Good book. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I was about to run around the living room a little bit. So I'm in chapter 3. If you're following on, I'm on page 33. I am a church member. So he says, I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. So he goes through these I wills. Now, if you notice in the table of contents, he's chapter 1, he talks about I will be a functioning church member. Number 2 was chapter 2, I will be a unifying church member. Chapter 3 is I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. And sometimes when we change locations or change venues, or change the order of worship, some people get a little bit irritated. That's old wineskin. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I'm skipping to page 35 because I'm just underlining some things I wanted to share. As a church member, my motivation should not be to get my preferences to the top of the list. I'm supposed to be last, not first, because this chapter is about I will not let my church be about me. It should be about we. We are doing the Lord's work. We are carrying out the Lord's will. Amen. What the Lord wants. I'm supposed to be a servant instead of seeking to be served. Okay, so he says, okay, let's dig a little deeper into what it means to be a servant. So he talks about the servant motif. The word servant occurs 57 times in the New Testament. Also, serve occurs 58 times in the New Testament. Get the picture? Serving is important in the Bible. We said we don't exist for people to sit. We're not saved to sit. We're saved to what? Serve. Now, what we said Sunday, I'll repeat it again so everybody gets it. So you can recite it. You're created to do what? Serve God. You're called to do what? Serve God. You're commanded to do what? Come on, church. Talk to me. So why are you existing right now? Why are you breathing the air?
To serve God.
What are you called to do? Now, everybody else is calling you to do stuff. Come on with the house. Come on to the party. Come hang out with me. That's fine. Nothing wrong. But remember, we said sanctification is not just separation from sin, but it's also separation from what may be permissible. You get the choice to do what you want to do, but we've been called and commanded to do what? Everybody say, serve God. Serve God. It's not half-time, part-time. It's all the time. All right, let's keep going. Page 36. At the top, it says, Paul said it well. After he became a Christian, the apostle declared, I was made a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his mighty power, Ephesians 3:7. Whenever we find joy in, we will never find joy in church membership when we are constantly seeking things our way. That's usually the Facebook crowd that likes to post what they want and what they want people to hear from them about. That's just basically what it is. You want people to hear me, listen to me, look at me. Well, praise God. I'm fired up tonight. I'm excited. Amen. You should be too. True joy means giving up our rights and preferences and serving everyone else. Now, the survey, he talks about a survey. He said the survey says a lot. A research team recently conducted a survey of churches that were inwardly focused. Now, here's some old wineskin we have to get rid of. As TWCC church members and family members and partners and friends, covenant members of this body, we have to get out of being inwardly focused. For the most part, they were not serving their past their own walls and their own members. And what we call it Sunday, we call it a Bless Me Club. We get to spending great energy talking about the curtains and the closets and the colors and the comforts and the conveniences of coming to church instead of the cause and the calling of being the church. He said, for the most part, they were not serving their past their own walls and their own members. In other words, those churches were largely self-serving. So he found 10 dominant behavior patterns of members in these churches. One, worship wars. And some people are not necessarily fighting, but they try to preference their style and preference of genre. I guess that's how you say it, genre. So if the music is not in their style, they don't worship. And the body language comes across. I'm at war with that song because I'm gripping that seat. I want a little R&B flavor. Somebody else wants a country and western twang to it. Somebody wants bluegrass. Somebody wants old gospel hymns. Somebody wants Hillsong Contemporary or Planet Shakers or whatever. That's a big deal. Because if we're going to make the church not about me, we got to think about we. If the Holy Spirit, if we're praying for the worship team and the worship leader, they will pick the right songs that we can all enter into the presence of God and worship him in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Number two, prolong minutia meetings. So we have meetings to talk about most inconsequential items, while the Great Commission and Great Commandment rarely topic of discussions. Amen. That's why we have to bring it up, because that has to be at the forefront of our everything we think, say, and do in the church. We're under orders. We're under command. Facility focus. Program driven. Inwardly focused budget. Inordinate demands for pastoral care. People, I want to keep things close so I can always get to the pastor. And, you know, a couple of people said that they had dreams of church being over 250 here recently, in the last week. Well, when you get 250, remember we talked about, you're going to have more new babies in the church. And so people have to focus on the new babies. If you've been around for a couple of years, you're not a baby anymore.
Amen.
You might be still the spiritual baby, but you need to get potty trained real quick and get to moving, get to walking.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Attitudes of entitlement. Meaning I deserve special treatment. Now, when we get into the new building, you know, we're going to talk about a little bit on Saturday, but I'm going to recommission the usher team to direct, to treat and seat, amen, and
amen.
Greet everybody.
Amen.
So nobody gets to pick their own seat,
amen.
Except designated usher reserved spots.
Amen.
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 Because we want your family to sit together. Amen. Not two or three rows of family members. So everybody's crossing over. We're just going to readdress that Saturday morning. I'm sorry. And so the ushers need to be intentional and kind, but very direct. You sit up front. You sit here. Do you know? It's not multiple choice seating. It's the usher's choice seating. Because it's what? Church is not about me. It's about what? We. Amen. Amen. He said, in almost every behavior above, church members were looking for their own needs and preferences. He said, I want the music my way. I want the building my way. I'm upset because the pastor didn't visit me or call me or text me or email me. I don't want to change anything in my church. You get the picture. The three favorite people, right? He says, I, myself, me, myself. Or like we say, me, myself, and I. See, church membership is, from a biblical perspective, however, is about servanthood. It's about giving and putting others first. Everybody say, my servanthood, my service is about giving and putting others first. And so we have to change this wineskin of our mindset, our attitude. That's the wineskin. The old wineskin says, I got my own mind. I made up my mind. But we want everyone to embrace the mind of Christ. Everybody say the mind of Christ. Now, if you read Philippians 2, 5 through 11, we're not going to turn there now. But he talks about let this mind be in you, which is by Christ Jesus. He's got another version. Make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus. So that means you can put Christ's mind in your mind. You can always come with upgraded thinking. I'm Christ-like in my thinking. That's new wine and new wineskin. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Because if God wants to pour new into us and you got old wineskin, what happens? You break. And you break down. In some cases, you break away because I don't like the changes. I don't like where they're going. We're not going anything dark or demonic. We just have to be transformed into his image. That means we have to be changed.
Yes.
Amen. All right. So keep in mind, Philippians 2 was not only a description of obedience of Christ, but is an example for us to follow. We are to be servants. We are to be obedient. We are to put others first. We are to do whatever it takes to keep the unity in our church. So if we approach church membership from the perspective of entitlement, we have it upside down, old wineskin. You should always ask first, what you can do for the church. What can you do for your church? Amen?
Amen.
Then you will have discovered the joy of being last. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now let's get a visual, a little visual here. I got a visual. And we'll be done. We read the scripture. Everybody good? So this is the importance. I forgot to add one more here. Five. Holy Spirit reminded me. Okay, what does this mean? What does this mean? What's all these stuff on this board? Okay, so for you to be transformed and changed, to grow, to increase, and to expand spiritually, numerically, financially, in your business, in your career endeavors, etc., you have to make progress upward and outward. Upward and outward. That means deep and wide. Vertical, horizontal. So you do that by strengthening your core competencies. So some people think, well, I got to do something different. No, we all have been given great teaching, and we'll kind of go back through prayer, but We've been giving great subject matters on these areas. Remember, we said Sunday, the first milk bottle you should really drink from deeply and consistently is who you are in Christ, where it becomes not only just principle and PowerPoints in your brain, but practices in your lifestyle. Who you are in Christ. Because the enemy will first come to steal your identity. Then he'll try to steal your future. And then the next one is who you are in the body of Christ. Your place, your grace, your race. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody's not in the place of pastor. Right now, during this season, I'm in that place. And I have the grace for it. Pastor Cynthia and I do.
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
But I can't be a good usher. That's not my place. And that's not my race. And if I step out of my grace, I fall on my face. And I create dysfunction and schism in the body just as worse as anybody else. Because I can't be a good SAV team member. That's not my place. That's not my race. That's not my grace. So if I have to do it when that body part is out of place, then I and perhaps they fall on their face.
Amen.
The love commandment. We just went through a whole series talking about love. Greatest thing in the world. Got great notes, great points. We gave away books. Everybody should be not only just consuming them for consumption, but they should be done in your life as transformation. How there should be a marked, measured growth, deep and wide, of your love walk and your carrying out the love command, your practice of the love commandment. Amen. And the Holy Spirit's your life coach, so he's all the time with you, reinforcing and what Jesus did and reminding you of what you've been taught. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit's assignment in your life. He's your helper. He's your comforter. He's your strengthener. He's your standby. And then, of course, the Great Commission. So you're not, we not individually or we collectively become so inwardly focused on just our agenda. I come to church and I'm all thinking about getting ready for service. I never thought about service outside of the church.
Amen.
I'm just thinking about serving inside the church. So when you go without a week, without inviting anybody, sharing Christ or showing Christ, then you should not be able to sleep because you're not doing your job, what you've been created, called, and commanded to do.
Amen.
Amen. And then prayer. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. Prayer is non-negotiable if you're in the ministry. It is the cost of leadership, as we said, and leadership starts when you step into service. When you step into service and the ministry helps. Leadership starts the cost of leadership is responsibility. You have responsibilities. You can't just not pray. Because that's the challenge of leadership. You have to pray. If you pray, you won't progress. If you don't pray, you don't prevail. And some people think, well, prayer is just, okay, I can, that's optional. No, it's non-negotiable. You can't stand in any office if you're not anointed, because that's your supernatural equipping, and that's procured or purchased via prayer. And if you serve without praying, it's like playing football, tackle football, without a helmet and without a uniform. And you're going to get hurt. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So we all should be growing deep and wide. And these are where the change points are. If you continually drill down into these core competencies, you grow up and you grow across. You grow up and grow across, and it's like a stair step. You continue to make progress.
Yes.
As we sung the song, and I want you to stand. Go ahead and stand. I want you to sing it again. Good guys, just play that song again. We go from glory, what?
Glory.
To glory. We'll never be the same. Y'all get something out of that tonight?
Yes.